Hey, my name is Rick Renner. I'm here with Joel Renner and Denise Renner. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
So good to be with you both.
I'm glad to be with you, and I'm very glad to be with you. And today, I want to talk to you more about what angels do not do and what angels do for us. It's very important that you understand what they do not do and what they do for us. For example, we know that angels do not teach. They don't correct. And they don't rebuke the church. That is a role which is assigned to human beings that are called into the fivefold ministry. Now, somebody might say, well, what about Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, where Jesus speaks to the angel of all the churches? And indeed, if you read it in the King James Version, it says he spoke to the angel of the church of Ephesus, then the angel of Smyrna, the angel of Pergamum, the angel of Thyatira, the angel of Sardis, the angel of Laodicea, the angel of Philadelphia. But those words angel, the Greek word angelos, can be translated angel like a heavenly angel, but in the context of Revelation 2 and 3, it's not talking about an angel. God does not set angels over churches. Now, certainly there are guardian angels that help churches, but God sets pastors over churches. And that word angelos can also be translated as a messenger. Jesus was speaking to the human messenger that was entrusted with leadership of all seven of those churches. He was giving them a message which they were to take into their heart, percolate, get everything out of it that they could, and then deliver it to the church in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a human responsibility. That is not a responsibility of angels. And in fact, as we saw the last time we were together, anytime you study a cult or you study a sect, much of the time, those sects and those cults began with an angelic teaching. When an angel showed up and an angel began to teach, well, that's a red flag. That should immediately tell you that is not an experience given by God. That's maybe the devil transforming himself into an angel of light. But if an angel shows up and begins to teach you something, you need to tell that spirit to go away because that is not the Lord. Angels do not teach Scripture. Angels do not rebuke the church. Angels do not correct the church. That is a role God has assigned to humans. This is very important for you to understand. We also saw that in Colossians 2, verse 18, Paul rebuked the Colossians because they were obsessed with angels. He actually said they were nearly worshiping angels. They were just obsessed with angels. And today there's a lot of obsession with angels. And it's for that reason that I have rarely shared my own experiences with angels, and I have had several which have been very notable in my life. One of them I share in our autobiography, which is called Unlikely, and I want to encourage you to get this book. But today I'm going to share with you another experience I had with an angel, and this was many years ago when I was really physically depleted. Denise and I had been traveling and traveling and traveling and traveling. When we come to the United States to minister, it is nonstop. I mean, we just do not let the grass grow under our feet because we're rarely there and we want to take advantage of every moment. And this was a particular trip where we had just overscheduled. It was just too much. And I began to pray and I said, Lord, please do something. I began to call out to Him. I began to quote Scripture about the need for rest, about a Sabbath rest. And you know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 103, verse 20, that angels are activated when they hear the Word of God. It's not just you saying, I need help. When you speak the Word of God, that activates angels. That verse says, Psalm 103, 20, they hearken to the voice of the Word. Well, here I was praying the Word of God, saying, I need a Sabbath rest. Lord, please do something to help me. Well, that was a Saturday morning. And Denise and I were to go to the airport, get on the plane, and go to the next meeting. And I'd been calling out in faith, quoting Scripture, Lord, please do something. I need to rest. Got to the airport, and all of a sudden, the person at the front desk that was checking us in said, sorry, sir, your flight is canceled. I said, why? They said, bad weather has come in, and no one can fly that direction. And I remember thinking, oh, praise the Lord, my prayers have been answered. So I called the pastor, told him that we could not come. He said, we'll try to go through Dallas. So I went back to the front desk at the airport and said, are there any routes through Dallas? And the person working at the desk said, boy, this is really strange. Because now, weather has rolled into Dallas and there's no flights going south. You can't go north. You can't go south. I thought, praise the Lord. So Denise and I got in the car. We drove off and called the pastor. He said, go back to the airport. Go back to the airport. See if you can fly through Denver. So I went back to the airport. And the same person greeted me and said, wow, you're having quite an amazing day because now weather has come in over Denver. We can't fly to Denver. So I called the pastor. I said, I can't fly west now. Weather's come into Denver. He said, go east, see if you can fly through Nashville. Went back to the airport. They said, sir, you are stuck here. Now weather has come into Nashville. You can't go north. You can't go south. You can't go west. You can't go east. He said, sir, you might as well just relax and rest because you're not going anywhere. That's exactly what I prayed. I prayed for a Sabbath rest. I said, Denise, I can stay home. We can rest. So we got in the car and we decided that on the way home, we would stop at a cafeteria and we would get a bite to eat. So Denise sat at our table, saved our table. She told me what she wanted, and I got in line, and I got my food. I got Denise's food, and I was standing in line. Several people were before me, waiting for the register to pay for their food. And suddenly, the person standing next to me, whom I had never seen in my life, said to me, you know, this weather is because of you. I said, what? You prayed for this weather. This weather has come because of you. No one knew that. I was so stunned. And then this person began to tell me details about my life that no one really knew, but they were correct. And I realized I was standing next to an angel. And I thought to myself, I believe this is the angel that brought the weather. This angel knows I prayed for something to happen with the weather so that I could stay home and rest. I was in a state of just being shocked. So I paid my bill, went over to the table, sat down and said, Denise, I think I just met an angel. You know, the Bible tells us sometimes we entertain angels unaware. They don't always show up with wings. They don't always show up like luminous beings. The Bible tells us that Abraham received two angels and the Lord into his home. They just looked like people, washed their feet, made them food, served them dinner, had fellowship with them. Sometimes angels look like human beings. And I said, Denise, I believe I just met an angel. Denise said, where? I said, right over there. And within minutes, that person was standing at our table looking down at me and Denise. Denise, is this the truth? And the look on this person's face was otherworldly. And finally I said, where are you from? And I am not exaggerating. I'm not making this up. I said, where are you from? And the answer came just like this. Heaven, of course. And turned around, left us, and walked out the front door. Denise said, that is an angel. She said, I'm running out into the parking lot. I want to see more of this angel. This person had just walked out the front door. Denise was right behind. There was no one there. The person just vanished. And I believe to this day that was a ministering spirit who was sent forth to minister to me because I needed a Sabbath. I needed a rest. Denise, will you ever forget that person saying, heaven, of course. And then they were just gone. Well, we're told in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, that angels are ministering spirits. And they're sent forth to minister to those that are the heirs of salvation. I'm an heir of salvation. You are an heir of salvation. We're told in the book of Revelation that there are 10,000s upon 10,000s of angels. Well, if there are that many angels, then why should we be surprised if every once in a while one showed up to minister to us? That is their assignment. They are sent forth to minister to the elect. That's me and that's you. I shared with you in the previous episode, there's not one instance in the Bible of an angel ever helping the wicked. Never. But they're regularly helping the saved. And if you're saved, then you have every right to say, Lord, I need help. And angels will show up. Maybe you will see them, maybe you will not. You may sense their presence. You may sense the effect of what they do for you, but they will come. And we saw in the previous episode four things that angels do, and I want to review these very quickly. Number one, we saw that angels meet physical needs. If you didn't see that episode, please go back and see it. Number two, we saw that angels give physical strength when you are physically depleted. These are things that angels do for us. They really do. Then number three, we saw that angels provide supernatural guidance. Now, if you don't receive angelic guidance, that's okay because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And Romans verse 8:14 says the primary way Christians are led is they're led by the Spirit of God. But there really are moments when angels provide supernatural guidance. And number four, we saw that angels provide protection and deliverance in dangerous situations. I have personally experienced all these four various ministries that angels do for us. And if you look back over your life, you probably have been the recipient of them as well. They really are guardian angels. Jesus referred to them. These are angels that are assigned to help us and to watch over us. But my friends, don't be obsessed with angels. Thank God for them and receive their ministry. But remember, it's Jesus alone that you're to be obsessed with and that you are to worship. But now we're going to go to number five. Are you ready? Angels make divine announcements. Now you might ask, well, wait. You said at the beginning of this episode that angels don't teach, angels don't elaborate. No, they don't. But they make announcements. And I want to read to you from my book, which is called A Light in Darkness, Seven Messages to the Seven Churches. Listen to this. Although angels do make announcements, their vocal role in the affairs of mankind is not the same as that as human teachers and preachers. Angels don't need to study. Angels don't need to pray. They don't need to prepare. They listen to God and they speak verbatim what God has instructed them to speak. They are repeaters. They're not preachers. Angels do not have the right to expound or to elaborate. Now, we as human beings, when we preach, we take what the Holy Spirit has imparted to our heart and we put it in our own language. We elaborate. We work, we massage the words, we try to take our own language to really convey what we feel the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Angels don't do that. They don't have that privilege. They just hear exactly what God says. And when they show up, they speak verbatim what they heard. Angels are repeaters. They're not preachers. So if you have an experience with an angel that begins to teach or an angel that begins to preach and elaborate, my friends, you need to back away from that experience. Angels are repeaters. They are not preachers. Now, there are many examples of this in Scripture. When they come, they make declarations, they make announcements, and that's all they do. For example, in Luke chapter 1, verse 11 to 17, it relates that an angel appeared to Zacharias and announced to him the birth of John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 23, the angel Gabriel announced the birth of Jesus to Mary. In Luke 2, verse 9 to 14, it records that a multitude of heavenly angels announced the birth of Jesus. And by the way, that's very interesting because it says there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying. Most people think that they were singing. It doesn't say they were singing. And in fact, there's only one verse in the whole Bible that indicates angels sing, and that's in the book of Job. In the book of Job, it says that when the earth was created, the morning stars, which refers to angels, sang. That is the only verse in the entire Bible that insinuates angels sing. It seems that singing is a feature which God has primarily given to human beings. What a privilege that we can sing. This is a feature that God has given to us that is unique. Now, do angels sing? I think they probably do. But there's very little scripture to verify that. But angels do declare. They make announcements. And even when the angels showed up to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, they weren't singing. It says they said, they were announcing, they were declaring. That's really what it says. Then the three gospel accounts in Matthew 28, Mark 16, and Luke 24 testifies that angels announced Jesus' resurrection. Again, they're announcing. In Acts 1, verse 11, it says, two angels appeared to the apostles after Jesus ascended and announced that Jesus would return in like fashion. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, we find that an angel is going to make a large announcement at the time of the resurrection of the righteous and the rapture of the church. And the book of Revelation is filled with angelic announcements. And the angels are not elaborating, they're not teaching, they're not preaching, but verbatim, they are repeating the message that they were given. They are repeaters, they are not preachers. This is a very important difference for you to understand. Wow, I think that's amazing. There's one example in the book of Revelation, and that is in Revelation 14, verse 6 and 7, where the King James Version says that the angels are going to preach. But the word preach in Greek really means to announce, to make a declaration. It's just a bad translation. They're going to make an announcement. They're going to make a proclamation. They're going to make a declaration. Or again, they're going to repeat verbatim what they heard. They are repeaters. They are not preachers. But then we come to number 6 of what angels do. And number 6 is angels perform superhuman feats. They perform superhuman feats. And one very vivid example is from the Gospels at the time of the resurrection. And we're told in Matthew 28, verse 2, that a great stone had been rolled in front of Jesus' tomb. It was a massive, massive stone. It was so massive that no person by himself would be able to remove it. But the Bible says the angel rolled away the stone. One angel had so much power and so much strength that he was able to do what a human being is unable to do and to perform a superhuman feat. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, we find that an angel is going to take Satan, going to bind Satan in chains, throw him into a pit. No human being alone has the ability to do that. But angels are so mighty and angels are so powerful, they literally can perform superhuman feats. Maybe you've heard stories of people that were trapped in a car accident and suddenly the car moved. That was an angel. That was a superhuman feat. Or someone was in some kind of a situation where they were in peril and something happened, just absolutely supernatural, that delivered them. That was an angel performing a superhuman feat. And when you find yourself trapped in a place and you see no way out, you can expect angels to do this for you. They're sent forth to minister to you. And one of the things they do for those that inherit salvation is perform superhuman feats. It might be causing finances to come to you. That's a superhuman feat sometimes. But then we come to number 7. And number 7, angels worship. Angels are worshipers. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, it says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands, saying." Notice how they're worshiping. They're making a declaration. Doesn't say they're singing. Maybe they were singing. But the verse says they were saying, "With a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. They were declaring praises to the Lamb of God. Wow. Maybe they were singing, but this verse does say that they were praising, but their praise involved them making a declaration, making a statement, making a proclamation. Wow. One of the most famous passages, as we've already seen about angels, is in Luke chapter 2. When an angel appeared to the shepherds, and suddenly with that one angel, in addition to him, there was a multitude of the heavenly host. Heavenly host means heavenly armies. All the angels showed up. And they were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." People assume they were singing, but it says they were saying. This is very typical of angels. In their praise, they're making declarations. They're making declarations. Wow. Even when you study Isaiah chapter 6, it talks about the angels who begin to speak about the Holy One that was on the throne, and their voices were so strong that it says the columns, the pillars of the room moved. They shook at the voice of those that were making declarations. Angels worship with faith-filled declarations. And number 8, are you ready for this? Angels release divine judgments. Angels release divine judgments. It's all over the Old Testament. It's all over the New Testament. We'll stick with the New Testament since we are New Testament believers. One of the clearest examples is in Acts chapter 2, 12, verse 22. And it tells us that the people begin to worship Herod, who was one of the kids of Herod the Great. And Herod encouraged it. He liked it. And the Bible tells us, in verse 23, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten up of worms and gave up the ghost. It was the angel of the Lord that released this judgment against him. But when you come to the book of Revelation, you find angels releasing all kinds of judgments upon the earth. They release judgments upon the wicked. For example, in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, 4 angels are sent to release judgment upon the earth and upon the sea. In Revelation chapters 8 through 11, 7 angels sound 7 trumpets that release 7 different judgments into the earth. Again, they're releasing divine judgment. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 17 to 20, an angel swings a harvest sickle on the earth that releases great wrath and great judgment upon the earth. All of these are released by angels. In Revelation chapters 15 to 16, 7 angels pour out 7 bowls of judgment into the earth upon the inhabitants of the earth. These are released by angels. Now, my friends, that is just amazing to me. So let's review very quickly what we've seen, and we begin with Hebrews 1, verse 14, where we have seen. Number 1, angels are sent forth to minister to us, the heirs of salvation. And that word minister, the Greek word diakonio, describes servants that are highly trained, high-level servants, which means angels are sent forth, and God expects us them to serve you and me with a highest level service. And among all the things they do for us, as a reminder, number 1, angels meet our physical needs at times. Number 2, angels provide strength when we are depleted. Number 3, angels give supernatural guidance. Now, don't depend on it because you are to be led by the Holy Spirit, but there are times when angels really do give supernatural guidance. Then we saw number 4, angels provide protection and deliverance. You can expect them to do it and expect them to do it. Amen? Then we saw number 5, angels make divine announcements. And then number 6, we saw that angels, in addition to all of these things, perform superhuman feats. Number 7, angels worship. They are worshipers. They're declaring who God is. And finally, number 8, God dispatches angels to release judgment. These are 8 things angels do. It's what they do. Now, it's very important that you know what they do not do and that you know what they do for us. If you know what they do not do, for example, if you have an experience with some kind of an angelic being or a spiritual being that begins to teach you and begins to elaborate, my friends, that is such a red flag. You need to back away from that. That is not the role of angels. That is a role which is assigned to human messengers who are anointed by the Holy Spirit. What a privilege that God has given us that function. But that is not the function of angels. By the way, angels are not redeemed. They're not saved. They don't even know what it means to be saved. And in fact, angels are so mesmerized with the fact that we have been redeemed and we've been washed in the blood of Jesus and that we can preach, that we're told in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12 that the angels hover low and they watch. They watch as we, human beings that have been redeemed, as we worship out of our born-again spirits. That is amazing to them, that we are redeemed. They watch in amazement as preachers elaborate and preach the Word of God, expounding. That's something that they're not permitted to do because they're repeaters. They're not preachers. And they literally hover low. Every time we have church, every time we begin to worship, what you take for granted, because you do it every week when you go to church, angels just earnestly look into and long that they could sit in our seats and know what it means to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit, to be able to worship from a born-again heart, to preach the Word of God and to elaborate. They watch in amazement and hover low to observe our activities. That's how special the church is. But again, we need to know what they don't do, and we need to know what they do for us. Now, right now on the internet, there's all kinds of interesting things, and people love to clamor and get attention and talk about what is sensational. But remember, the Apostle Paul warned us in Colossians 2, verse 18, that we are not to be fixated and obsessed with angels. We need to thank God for them. And if there's really 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands and thousands of angels, then we should not be surprised if we see one from time to time or if one shows up to invisibly help us. And by the way, when you study the book of Acts, they were seeing angels all the time. My friends, if that happened in the book of Acts and God is not a respecter of persons, it means we need to be experiencing the ministry of angels. Of course, we're the saved. We are the elect, and God has sent forth ministering spirits, that's angels, to minister to those who are the inheritors of salvation. So if you're saved, you can scripturally pray. And according to Psalm 103, verse 20, they will hearken to the voice of God's word. You can activate your angels. And every time you pray a scripture, calling for deliverance, calling for help, calling for supernatural provision, every time you quote Psalm 91, verse 11, which says he gives his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways, you're activating those angels. Every time that you quote Psalm chapter 34, which says the angel of the Lord camps around about and delivers those that are saved, you're activating their delivering help in your life. Quote the Word of God. Don't just say, I need an angel. That's not going to do anything. But when you speak the Word of God, suddenly they stand to attention and they are dispatched. And the truth is they're around you all the time. They are standing by, waiting to hear the Word of God. And the moment you speak the Word of God, they stand to attention. They are activated. And they go to work for you. And they do the 8 things that we've talked about today. So now you know what angels do not do, and you know what angels do for you.